Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good evening. This is L.A. Steele. Tonight I wanted to, do a tarot reading for anybody who would like to call in this evening. I'm not certain what the stars will say, but I'm pretty certain I can read them quite well for you. I don't do this too often, and the reason for that is I don't really want to commercialize the art, you know, though there's no reason that it can't be done. I don't blame anyone who does. Simply that for the little amount that I do it and for the personal satisfaction I get out of correctly reading the cards and using and exercising my intuition or my intuitive power, I feel as though it's quite sacred. Quite a sacred art, and one that is not to be taken lightly. But I wanted to. I felt every so often you get the feeling that when you're a medium or when you're aware of your psychic powers, you know that you're more sensitive to others, sensitive to suggestion, right? I should have more self-suggestion. There's a message coming through you. There is always a moment of mysticism that the mystic never forgets. And I humbly submit my work to the universe and hope that others would do the same. And I feel that by doing so, it keeps my message clear and keeps my own vanity from coming to the surface. And it also allows my listener or the person I'm reading to become more relaxed, because they know that they're not being taken. I mean, I'm doing the very best that can be done, and my work has been, quite on target for many years. And I do a lot of it for my own self. So I feel that it's kind of a sacred. I like to think of it as a sacred power. I shouldn't say power in tarot, but it could be. Tarot can be your downfall, or it can be your salvation. It's not really, it's bipolar in its respects. It has very good cards and very bad cards. But in order to reinforce the benefit of tarot to the world and to the reader or listener or participant, it's important to understand that the tarot was invented as a high art of divination. And, this particular deck that I'm working with is called the Sacred Rose Tarot, and it was given to me by Joanna Sherman, who, created the deck. And it was a wonderful deck, beautiful deck. And it has five roses on the top, the red, blue, purple, light brown, and white, or gold. I think the light brown is gold. Okay, gold, these golden roses. So anyway, these make up the deck, and there's of course 78 cards. But let me. And basically, they're the same. The art, only the art and the symbolism is different on these. Not the actual cards themselves. They all follow the same normal tarot suit used by most But this is unique in that it's from a more feminine perspective. It has a much softer spirit working through it. I can't really quite understand that. That's why I announced myself as a, if you saw my blog, my announcement tonight, it said medium of a kind spirits, and that's basically who these spirits are. And again, I'm perfectly a sane person. I mean, it's just that those of you who know the power of the tarot and the power of prophecy will understand this program tonight. You know, this may guide you. So I hope that you're calling. If you do, the number is right there, 646-915-9505. And you can call in that number, and I'd be happy to take you, take your call, and do a reading for you. It would be a 9-card reading, and that would be substantially. I like that particular lay, and the reason for that is it seems more. It gives me a lot more clarity. There's other, you know, lays, but clarity is quite important. So the first, since there's no callers, I'm going to do my tarot reading. One on President Obama. I want to see what's going on here. I want to ask this question. If you look back at my archives back in, I believe last year, it was right after he won the election. Yeah, I believe that about a year ago now. I did a tarot reading on the air, and I described what were the spirits. I asked what the spirits were to identify themselves who were behind Obama, and surprisingly enough, few people knew that Valerie Jarrett was his senior. This wasn't really announced yet. That Valerie Jarrett was his senior advisor, kind of like a Karl Rove to George Bush. And the card, I wasn't aware. I thought maybe the female. There was a very, very prominent female in his life, especially now. You know, at that moment. I recall it very well because I didn't realize it was Valerie Jarrett until the next day, when it was announced that she was his advisor, and I was like, "Wow!" So that made me understand. Plus, it was Michelle Obama was a very strong influence. There was two women in his life that were extremely possessive of this man's mind. So those are the spirits. And then he had others of power and I believe vanity and so on. So we have, it was quite good. And I think it's time to update since it's been a year now. So I'm going to do the tarot reading on the outlook of the Obama administration. Wow. Very interesting. The first card is the Devil card. Now, the Devil card is a card that signifies bondage. Signifies we're in debt. We're addicted. When the Devil has you, when that spirit comes up, it's identifying the addiction. And when it comes up in the first place, as the first card, that's a card of the present. Okay, so we're looking at an America. We're looking at a demon, basically, that's imprisoned a man and a woman, bound with a rope around their necks as slaves. And that's essentially what's happening to this country through our debt, through debt. So it's fascinating that's the first card for Mr. Obama. the devil card. Remarkable. The next card is the Ace of Cups. Now, that's in the emotional segment of the lay, the nine-card lay. First, you have the present, and then you have emotion and intellect, and then earth, or, you know, your basically your resolve card. And then as you go into the different other cards, then they become significant in filling up the you can almost consider the first four, if you consider the first four cards as the present, all right, the present path that you're on, right? And then you look at the second part of this lay, and you'll see the journey that you're that is going to come, all right? So basically, the present card is a devil card. The second card, or the emotion card, is the Ace of Cups. Now, the emotion card signifies not only good fortune, right? But it also signifies can signify death, right? Death of the economy, basically. But the beauty of that Ace of Cups is that there's a dove rising from above it with a cross, and it's like a holy chalice, okay, being stretched out before you. So that we have the choice. I believe that these spirits are saying that we have the choice, that there is a choice, that, you know, this is where the end of our economy, and this is, you know, what you're getting here is basically end time. And I believe that's weighing very heavy on Mr. Obama. And I believe that his the desire for wealth and power is outweighing his sanity, basically, right now. Especially with the judgments that he's been making, it's been unbelievable. Interestingly enough, though, the third card, which is the Knight of Pentacles, that card signifies the intellect, the intelligence aspect of the spirit, and it's saying that in the Knight of Pentacles, it means that he's a strong defender who's comfortable and he's safe in his beliefs, and he's safe in his, he's standing behind the banks. Okay, the banks are his boys, all right, and they're going to save the world. All right, and that's Geithner and Summers and everybody that everybody's trying to say that you know, and Bernanke and everybody. This is a card that's stating this is where his mind is coming from. Okay, and because it's Pentacles, it signifies money. You know, it signifies wealth. So he himself is a well-heeled millionaire, but the people that he's listening to are billionaires, and those are one world government. And those are the people that are trying to, you know, manipulate the one world order. And unfortunately, through Obama, I think they're trying to do that, because Obama's major goal is his power and his wealth, and more important than it appears. That's his emotional state. It's more important for him, okay, to be wealthy and, you know, safe, than it is for him to challenge. But as a knight, he's fighting, but I believe he's just fighting for the wrong cause. You know, he's fighting for the banks. He's fighting for the wealth of a few, as opposed to the wealth of many. And the fourth card, excuse me, the fourth card is the Page of Swords. Now, the Page of Swords is a fascinating character because it signifies industry. Right. It signifies, troublemaking, all right? The guy's a troublemaker. He likes to things harder for himself, you know, dust stuff around. Like the Page of Swords is a page who has a sword. He's standing, planting the sword in the ground as a, you know, stubborn, solid thing. And all of the around him is like a garden of weeds and flowers and things that are all around his legs. And that signifies the, you know, that his stance is solid, however, you know, not stationary, because the world underneath him is growing and he can't control it, even though he's trying. And he will try to, you know, through stubbornness and through flippant remarks and through, you know, Bushian ignorance, will be like a page. You know, he'll be Page of Swords and a little man with a big sword. The Six of Pentacles. Now, the Six of Pentacles is a... That's a fascinating card. It's six pentacles on it. And this is the description of it. You have the world in the middle and six pentacles around, which are globes, but with a pentagram in the middle of them. And you have two hands, two right hands, one on one side and one on the other, one on top of the page, one on the bottom of the page, and turned opposite to each other. And that card represents generosity for some reason. And I'm not quite sure how to explain it really in terms, but it's like he's guiding the world to, you know, he's being generous to the world. He's trying to balance out the global economic system as to who's going to get money and who's not going to get money and who's going to live, who's going to die, right? But big decisions. But the card six is the decision that he really will make. And card seven and eight are... Oh, let me take this this call. A second. Good evening. Hello, 917. Hello, caller. Caller 917. Do you hear me? Okay. Well, if you ever want to chime in, you go right ahead.
Hello.
Yes, hi. Can I help you?
Problem. I can't hear him.
Hello? I can't quite hear you.
Hello?
Yes. I hear you. Are you talking next to the phone or on a speakerphone?
Hello?
Yes, hello. Can I help you? Hello?
I can't hear anything.
Can't hear anything? I don't know why. You're on the air. Can you hear
me now? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Good. It took a little while. I'm just trying to see if I can get a reading.
Sure. And, yeah, what's your name?
My name is Ashiel, Ashil.
Ashiel?
Okay. Yeah.
Sure. How did you, are you a regular listener to the show, or?
No, actually, I just got it today, so I was, I decided to give you a call and see what happened.
Oh, I appreciate it, thanks. Yeah. Did you hear about it on Facebook, or?
I'm sorry?
I said, how did you hear about it?
I was just checking Blog Talk Radio, and I saw, you know, you have a show, so I decided to listen and give you a call.
Oh, thank you so much. All right, I'm going to do a 9-card reading for you, okay?
Okay.
And, I have to cut the deck here, so let me do that. It's important to, when you do a 9-card lay, that you break the deck up into 9 stacks.
Okay.
And it's important to do that because it's a ritual, all right, for accurate readings. So here we go. Ah, Seven of Wands. Now the seven of the source card falls in the present. Okay. This card shows me that you're kind of a warrior kind of guy. You're kind of you're fighting a lot of you're fighting a lot. Yeah, I mean you're fighting with yourself. Or you're fighting with others. To defend yourself, defend your stance, and defend your opinions, and so on. So that seems to be what's happening there on the first card. Second card is in the emotional area. It describes your emotions, and the emotions show the Ace of Wands. Now, that can be a good and kind of a watchful card, not to let your emotions go too, get too angry, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't get too angry with people, but it offers you a great opportunity. The Ace of Wands, it offers you there's a great opportunity coming your way, and it's saying to you know it's happening emotionally because it's in your emotional card. So it's like be strong in your belief. And now, the difficulty that's coming, or possibly is already there, is in your third house, or your third spot place, which is the intellectual card. So it's the card of intellect. And again, it's not only these first four cards pretty much show your past and your present. Okay, and the next five cards will show your future.
Okay.
Now the Ten of Wands is in your intellect area, showing that the Ten of Wands is a man laying flat on his back with his hands out down on the ground and holding off an attack of wands that are coming down almost like icicles. You know, it's coming down like big bats coming down on top of them. It's like the weight of great anxiety. You're going through some great anxiety, holding back all the deadlines and holding back the stresses in your life and so on. But and that's what's making you angry and defiant. But I believe that you're fighting more for spiritual truth and identity than perhaps anything that's more physically harmful. But again, keep that in mind, that you are going through a conscious as well as a subconscious struggle. And it could be with your wife or girlfriend. It could be with femininity itself. But in the fourth placement, is the Two of Wands. And the Two of Wands is a man and a woman facing off each other, almost like with large wands in front of them, and it's a card that evokes principle. Okay, this is, you know, when you stand up and say this is what I believe, and she stands up and says this is what I believe, and this is, you know, you accept it or not, and it becomes a stalemate and a respect for each other. But at mm-hmm. the same time, in the background of this card, which is so significant, is there's the cosmos, there's the infinite. And in the front of this card, in between the two, is a rose, is a white rose and a red rose. And a red rose, of course, is the one of passion, and the white rose is the one of the impossible. And mm-hmm. so those two, with those, you have this ability to overcome the anger, the frustration, whatever it is that's facing you. Seize the moment, because there's an opportunity that's either already happened or is about to happen where you can reconcile or rationalize those elements within you that are being conflicted. And let me go to the fifth card. They're a real emotional guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's a Knights of Cups game up there, and he's crying all over himself, you know? He's that kind of knight, all right? He's very emotional, very generous guy, very giving guy. Always getting screwed over, but, you know, that's his job.
Yeah. Yep.
Excuse me. Knight of Cups always makes me laugh because that card used to come up all the time when I used to read my own cards, you know? And finally it stopped doing that. And I was grateful because, as you know, finally I stopped getting overly emotional about stuff, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you're still in that, yeah, that fifth card states that's where you're at and where you're going to continue to go on, but only for a short while.
Mm-hmm.
Because, whoa, I'm not sure, but your sixth card is the King of Swords. King of Swords, he's not the kind of guy that you want to mess with. You know, he'll cut your throat as much as give you his left arm, cut it off for you, you know what I mean? He's that kind
mm-hmm.
of, yeah, you don't mess with the King of Swords. Now, that could be somebody else, or it could actually be yourself, you know, to where you get to that point where, you know, you go from the Knight of Cups to the King of Swords. Or that there is another person, another man, more definitive than you, less emotional, more straightforward, who will fight that battle for you. You know what I mean? Or that you'll derive strength from to get over that problem. So it could be a father figure, it could be a uncle, it could be a Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know what I mean? It could be anybody who can swing a sword. But that's the King of Swords, so that he definitely plays a major role. And your seventh card is the Queen of Cups. Now, that's, I don't know if that's a mother-in-law card, or it's more or less a, it's definitely representing a female, but I have a tendency to want to believe that it's, she's offering a golden goblet. She's holding one out to you, all right, and
mm-hmm.
saying that, you know, this is my peace offering with you, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and in the middle of it, and on the other hand, she has a rose, okay, a white rose of the impossible, like, you know, here's she can, one hand takes away from the other hand, you know what I mean? I give
mm-hmm.
this to you and I'm going to take that, or I give them both to you, but it's not going to work. It's not, you know, it's hard to explain this one. It's not a bad card. It's just simply a woman that will play an important role in the outcome of your decision. What it's saying, but a woman with a rather sharp tongue once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now, your eighth card. Let's see. Yeah, your eighth card works with your ninth card, and I'm concerned only in the sense that it's the Ten of Swords, and the sixth card is the King of Swords.
Mm-hmm.
And the, you know, and what happens is the Ten of Swords is like an emotional death, all right? It's
mm-hmm.
an emotional release, emotional death, like you go through a divorce or you lose a loved one or you have something might have happened to you in the past that's been carried on and on and on. So you're becoming, and it's causing part of the grief in your life, part of the anger, part of the frustration, possibly part of the your relationship with women, or, you know, just your relationships in general because of your misunderstanding of, your light and dark side aren't meshed properly yet. You know what I mean? You're still working on it. So if you can quell your anger and your frustration, then you might get over, you'll be able to get over this. And a wonderful thing is on the 10th card, it shows that you will get over it. Now again, like I say, the last five cards are signify the future, you know, your future, mm-hmm. and it's the arc of it's the arc of the heart, basically. Those three cards. So you have so what you have here is you have in the last card on the ninth card, you have the world card, and the world card is. Is a card of being, how can I say, worldly, you know, you're centered. The world card represents the, it's a beautiful woman who's dancing with two batons, and she's got golden blonde hair. But around her, there's an eagle and a man, and on the bottom, there's a lion and a bull. A lion and bull signifying the, you know, Leo and Taurus. The eagle signifying strength and the God spirit and man, all right? And you have that four centers of and this woman in the middle of and it's the world card just signifies adventure, but it signifies. In many ways, the broadness of knowledge, emotion, open-mindedness, worldliness, allows us that to offset the emotional emotional upheavals of your life, because whatever your worldly interests are, many of your hobbies, many of your what you read, what you listen to, your music, your art, these things all play an emotional anchor to your life, gives you center, gives you from drifting off and around the world in a mad dash for truth. Instead, you have a very worldly outlook. And I believe that you are probably very intelligent. So you have a lot of interests and, you know, keen interests. Is that the case, or have you a mistake?
Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah, I figured. I the cards look like you're a very, very determined guy, and mm-hmm. whatever that is that you're seeking, you're gonna find. But what's gonna?
Yeah.
But you gotta go through. You're gonna go through a period of. Upheaval, okay? And there'll be an emotional death with something. In other words, a relationship may break up, but one that you'll want to break up. Don't remember, it's not something that you're willing. You know, the cards just say what's happening. They don't judge who's right and who's wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying by that?
All
they do is tell me, you know, what is going to happen in the future and what's happened in the past and what's happening in the present. And with these cards, I see that you've gone through a great deal. You're coming out of it. And, you know, you may be already past the emotional breakup of whatever that is, distancing yourself from a thought or a different.
Yes, thought. I did.
You did do that, right?
Yeah, recently, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, that's very strong, so you can see that. But you in the King of Swords, you challenged it and you cut it out. You were the guy that went away from it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what the King of Swords is saying. You got the strength, whatever that is, and then from there, it's gone. And now you're on the way to the great things. I always liked the World card. The only thing I found with the World card is that. It's not. You can't always trust it because there's to be exactly what it says, because there's four different variables to that card, actually five. And you know, you have the lion, you have the bull, the eagle, and the man, and then you have the dancing girl in the middle with the batons, and then. In this particular card, and that's why I like using this type of tarot deck is because you have the artist Joanna Sherman symbolizes a great many things with flowers and forestry, and in this particular card, the reader can see that you have a forest behind you, intertwining with leaves and branches, right? But then around the girl, you have this garland of roses, okay? Garland of roses and flowers of different, you know, colors. And then she's dancing between a bull and a lion. And that gives the expression that she's centered in the sense that your body and your mind seem to be, if you can keep those in line with without anger or despair, then you'll have a really wonderful life. But just keep the anger and despair to a limit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And your life will go on without harm. That's what I see. Do you have any
questions?
Sounds
good.
Do you have any other questions or?
Pretty much I wanted to focus on if you see anybody coming in time soon, but I got a feeling probably will.
Do I see anybody coming?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Anybody?
No, relationship, dating.
Relationship?
Love that. Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I do, because that's the world card is a beautiful woman. A beautiful woman dancing with batons and so on.
Okay. Okay.
As femininity but it also signifies that this time, the next relationship you get into, which I believe you will get into a one, it will be much more centered. You'll have your feet on the ground and your head, your head and feet on the ground. This time, and I think the person you meet will be quite a nice woman. So I wish you all the luck there.
Hopefully it's anytime soon.
Usually when a tarot reading is usually good for about maybe 3 months. Okay.
Oh, okay.
But sometimes you got to go back to the cards because they're designed. The tarot was designed for short-term viewing, if you will.
Okay.
Astrology was more designed for long-term viewing. But more so. Within 3 months and sometimes up to a year. But things change. But these cards are very strong. So I would say that you're on the right course. You went through the breakup and you will you're gonna meet somebody very fine. All right.
So, yeah. I feel that way too, as a matter of fact, so I totally agree.
See, all we're basically doing, all psychics really do is just, or mediums is just kind of read what you're putting forth. That's what the cards say. That's why the amazing tarot is the most amazing. In fact, the origin of tarot, the actual origin root of the word, is from truth. Thought, which was a Egyptian word, and it became it was then written down as tarot, T-O-R. A-T instead of trot. It became, So tarot is basically truth, and it's truth in spirit. And whatever goes through us as, when we read these cards and try to interpret them, they do a great service to those people. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much, too. And that will keep you posted.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell your friends too, and join the show. We got the shows on every, 4 nights a week. So different subjects and different all kinds of stuff. So hope to see you again.
Sure will.
Okay.
You have a good night.
Yeah, good night. We got time to do one more. If anybody would like to call. Oh, I think I have a caller here. Hello, do I have another caller on the line?
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah,
hi, my name is Drew.
Sorry, I had it muted, and I thought I had unmuted it, so forgive me. How are you?
I'm okay. My name is Drew, and I'm from California, and I was just curious to know. I guess I don't have anything in particular. Is that okay? Just like a general?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you know, if you don't have any questions, if you just would like to know, like I did for the other person who called in, I just did a 9-card lay, and kind of a life, an overall past, present, future scenario, if you'd like me to do that.
Sure.
I don't mind. You know, there's also a 3-card lay that we can do. It's very simple, but I only do that with people that doubt the tarot. For instance, if you doubt it, then I use the 3-card as a tease. I'll say, oh, yeah, that sounds really interesting. You know, you do 3, but and then I say, do you want to do the rest of the cards? And if you decide, then I go through the whole thing. But some people are skittish about tarot, you know, and revealing too much.
Right. Oh, I don't mind at all.
All right. So, and what did you say your first name was? What's your
Drew.
First? Sue. Sue. I'm sorry. Drew. Yeah. Okay. Sue. All right. Sue. This is your first.
No.
Card.
No. It's Drew. D R U E.
Oh, like in Barrymore. Drew. Barrymore. Drew. I'm sorry, Drew.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I get it. Okay.
Okay.
Excuse me. I'm just getting some water. Now, okay, let me do this. I'll give you, I'm going to do the 9-card lay.
Okay.
All right. Ooh, okay. Tells me that you are a star. Now, that could be you are a star at work. It could be that you're a star, a movie star, or you could be just a very lovely person with a high intelligence, high hope, high ability. You know, very intuitive. You have the ability to see, to foresee, The star card, as you may, I don't know, are you familiar with the tarot? Or?
A little bit, but not really.
Well, the star card has you as a quite an honest person, you're open, you're actually naked before the world, and your legs are entwined with green like garland. You know, on this particular card, this is how it's depicted. And you have a large star behind you. And the star is one of the high arcana in the tarot deck. And it signifies good fortune. It signifies a person of candor, a person of good fortune. So I think presently, are you going through or presently in a good position physically or mentally, emotionally?
Well, yeah, I would like to think so. I've got a lot of things that are not very good happening, but none of them are concrete in stone. I'm the optimist always. But I feel like I'm about ready to take off on some other path, kind of, you know, and but hesitant to do so, you know, because I'm not sure. So maybe that's a way of saying yes, yeah?
That's what this card signifies, because it has your legs wrapped, your body, your upper body is free, but your legs are wrapped around by these leaves, by this garland, almost like a vine, actually, but it's a, and it's holding you back, okay? And
that's
but you're sitting, in heaven. You're actually sitting in orbit. You know, you're right. I'm reading the card, the picture on the card, which signifies that suspended feeling, that suspended animation that you saw.
Right.
But at the same time, the freedom that you have, and you don't really know it. Do you know what I'm trying to say? You don't realize
how
much freedom you really do have and how much power you really do have to be able to come out from the from the vine, break away from the vine, and begin to soar. And let me go
right.
on. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah. And now the second card is the card of emotion. Okay. It's the it's the Page of Cups. Now the Page of Cups is a interesting card, especially in the emotional. The emotional place. I must remind you, the first card is the card of the present. Okay. The second card is the emotions. Okay. The card of emotion. Third card.
Okay.
Yeah. The card of intellect. All right. And the fourth card is the card of result. Okay. Or the card, the earth card. Okay. So the card of reality. Right. And then we go on and I'll explain those. But those are the cards we'll lay out first. But you have the star in the first card. And you have the Page of Cups in the second. And the Page of Cups is offering a golden chalice. He's walking on a bed of carpet. It's a good fortune card. You've come a long way. You've worked hard. And you deserve a reward. And he has in his hand the rose of the white rose, which is the rose of the impossible. And you've had a great challenge, and now you've come to for this particular one is a woman. It's the cup is a nurturer. It's a role of a nurturer or a mother, basically.
Okay.
And inspiration and potential. Fulfillment of dreams by nurturing persons. It's you. You are a nurturer, emotionally.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, and that's not a bad thing to be. You know, it's a wonderful thing. But there's a bondage there, you know, when you're like that. And I think that's what the star is telling me. The first card is that you feel that, you know, you emotionally you're being bonded to something when you really want to be free. And I'm going to go on to, let's see what the intellect card says. Oh, good fortune, money, and everything. Ace of Pentacles. So intellectually, I don't know if you've created a new Google or Windows 2020, but somehow you're going to come into some good fortune and money. From your intellectual pursuits, it's a good card, golden, the Ace of Pentacles. So
okay.
I'm going to leave that at that because I'm not sure what the maybe the lotto or something. I mean, you're going to come into some money. You're going to come into some.
Right.
That's there. Now the
I doubt the lotto though because I don't have good luck with the lottery.
Maybe you'll get it. Maybe you'll get it. Why don't you get one? But now I just laid out your fourth card. A fourth card, that's the Eight of Cups. Now this is your result card. Now the Eight of Cups is a very disheveled, mad-looking woman that's holding onto a basket of eight pentacles, right? And or eight shiny cups full of gold. And there's a big moon behind her, seems to be pulling her hair and pulling herself apart. She can't. She's having a great deal of difficulty holding on to the wealth of this. It's almost like you're you're going to, or you already are, experiencing a drift or a split between your material wants and your spiritual wants. And I think that's going to play a major part in what I see here as your present, anyway. But maybe your future will be different. And let's go on to, does that seem to fall into some perspective for you? Does that seem to make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Now let me look. Oh, this is a good card. Very good card. Your fifth card is the Empress card, third highest on the Arcana. And she's the she's the mother card. She's the Mother Earth. The card, I mean, if you're a nurturer, this is the card for you, all right? Because,
right.
Yeah. So the Empress plays a very, very strong role. It could be your mother, could be an aunt, could be a relative or a friend who has a very, very overwhelming presence. Like I had a grandmother who'd give her life, I guess, for me, which was unbelievable that anybody would be so overwhelmingly affectionate toward, you know what I mean, to her grandchildren. And that's that kind of Empress nurturing person. That could even be you toward your children. Do you have children or?
Yeah, I have three, but they're all grown up already.
Yeah, but you still could be nurturing them. Over nurturing.
But I tend to nurture people I don't even know really more, you know?
That's part of
come across.
Yeah, that's part of being a good person, you know. It's what you enjoy doing. Are you do you do caregiving or a nurse, or are you a medical field, or what kind of, what do you?
No, right now I'm unemployed, but what I tend to do sometimes is I have this way of sensing in people. I can't even explain it. I don't really understand it, but I can see hurting or whatever is going on with them, and then I ask questions, and you know, out of nowhere, it's none of my business, but I just do it, and then I tend to get right to the meat and potatoes pretty quick, and then I just talk to them, you know, and
I think you're an empath. You know, it sounds like you're an empath, and it takes over a good portion of your life. It gives you great pleasure, but also you in a way are a medium for many people. It's you know, those people that you help, those are the that nourishes you. And I just pulled up your sixth card, and it's a very good card, Six of Wands. It's whatever. You're going to come into a, I don't know if you wrote a book or if you got a patent or if you did something unique, or maybe you, I don't know, it could be ran for office, you could have something, some kind of thing that you did, either maybe you wrote an article, maybe you wrote a book, but it says that you are you're going to be awarded. You're going to receive an award. You're going to receive an award of merit. Could be a promotion. Could be a job. You know, better than the one you had. Could be. It could be some award you're going to receive from doing charity work, the work that you've done and helping other people. Somewhere there's going to be a reward for your merit coming, and that's a
right.
You may be. Now another thing is, now the sixth card, which is seventh card, which is not a great card, the devil card, but the devil card is a card of bondage. It's a card that signifies addiction and slavery. It could be indebtedness. It could be I don't know, drugs, alcohol, painkillers. Like I said, it could be in great debt. And it doesn't mean it's now. It could just means that it if it isn't now, it could be something that you have to be careful of that can affect your future if you if you're not careful. All right, it's a more of a warning card than it is a card of great significance. So it's just a warning to be careful not to become enslaved to some
bad drug thing.
Or yeah, something, you know. And this the eighth card, the seventh the sixth and the eighth card are to be read together in this nine lay. And what this is the King of Swords. Now the King of Swords and the Six of Wands is a very good, shows that you're going to be there may be a man who comes into your life. Once you receive this award or this attention for your merit, someone will come into your life, right? And will be a very strong influence in your life, and more of a kind of a defender. But you may have a little bit of a sharp tongue or a sharp attitude, but overall he'll be, you know, protective of you. So, or there'll be some kind of involvement or relationship there. So, I believe it'll be to the good. And the last card, which is the Ace of Wands, signifies this a great opportunity for you, right? But it's one that fought for. It's an opportunity that's come, and you fought for it, and it'll be a good thing. You know what I mean? It'll be a good thing where you have strength and you'll conquer all battles. All right. And oddly enough, it's surrounded by the Rose of Passion, and there's a fist that's holding a wand with surrounded by a rose, a red rose, and that rose is a Rose of Passion, which of course would explain that the emotional, nurturing, heartfelt person that you tend to be. So you're gonna have somebody come into your life that's going to actually protect your heart. That's what it looks.
That's nice, because mine's gotten trampled on.
Yeah, things like when it's easy to get beat up quite a bit when you do good works, but you know. That's just part of the game. But somebody's going to come into your life and will be a protector of some sort, probably an emotional protector. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
I that one's hard to tell, because it could be if it were the Queen of Swords, I would say that would be you. You know, and being strong and you know. But with this, with the man, it looks more like you're going to get somebody. You be successful, everything will work out. But there'll be a person that'll come in to protect you from the from your own weakness. All right, protect you from that double card, which is the card of addiction or bondage or you know self-esteem or you know the things like that. It's easy to get yourself beat up and emotionally, and you get down, and sometimes that thing that puts you in despair, the shame, the you know, the feelings that Jesus is stupid, I was stupid, or things. I mean that we all go through that. I go through that 100 times a day, you know, and it's easy to shame on yourself, but. You have to ward yourself, ward away. You gotta say, "Hey, you know, I'm human," and be more careful next time. You know.
Well, you know what it is. I put myself out there a lot, and is it possible that the devil card is actually at face value, because a lot of what I do, I think, gets him pissed off. and I get knocked down a lot, but I always get back up, you know, because I'm not going to,
What type of things do you do? Is that helping people out?
I don't know. It's sort of like I feel like actually that the Lord will tell me to, you know, to talk to this person, whatever it may be, and I do, and I get to the root of the problem real quick. And at first they look at me like I'm crazy, but I can't help it, because every time I've done this, it's always worked out to be where, you know, I knew that I was following instruction the way I should, because, you know, we get into it, and then I just, you know, tell them about the Lord and this and that, and about, because I know a lot about spirits and attacks and all that stuff too. So, you know, and I just kind of tell them how to get, you know, to protect themselves from that through, you know, God. And I noticed that a lot of times, these people, for the most part, most of them, you know, they do, they get it, and they go on, and they're okay, and they do great, wonderful things, and except for the problem is I have a husband, and it doesn't work with him, and that's what drags me down, you know, because I can't help the one I love the most for whatever reason, you know, but the people that I talk to, it works out fantastic for them, you know, and it makes me feel good to see them get out of their, you know?
Yeah, I think I've discovered your, King of Swords might be your husband, you know, who is defiant in the sense that he's watching out for you, and at the same time he's, you know, telling you to stop, you know, you don't have to help everybody in the world, you know.
Well, no, what it is he needs my help a lot, because he's the one that's having all these really bad difficulties. He is on drugs. He is this and that, and I know he knows better, but he's just gone down this path of doom, practically. And he, of all the people, I would want to help him, but I can't. I'm too close, or I don't know what it is, you know. But I just can't, and I just watch him fall, and I can't do anything about it.
What kind of drugs is
it? Nope.
Methamphetamine.
Methamphetamine.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Okay, and you know, I can't do anything about it, and it kills me. You know, that's why I said I was at like a crossroads. I don't know which, you know. It's like,
yeah.
I don't want to. I don't give up on anybody. You know, but I think I'm too close to.
I think you are too.
I think you
are. I want to. Sometimes I refer to my text on this, because when the ruling on a card comes up and I'm not clear, my textbook is on is from the designer of the card, actually, and it explains in more depth. What significance that card will give. And I think that the Ace of Wands is an extremely powerful card. Opportunity, it shows the time to fight, the time to reach out and take and grab, you know, with all your heart.
Right.
It doesn't show any breakup here as far as, you know, difficulty there, but it does show the Devil card, on the card of addiction, and it does show this that you're going to be successful. You're going to be successful, and you're going to have some kind of great, great news is coming. But again, you have the King of Swords, who's going to stand there and probably be. He may not be as excited about the news that you're going to get. Who knows?
Right.
But. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was reading that right, but I had a sense that you were, that was something that was, he may not be able to take your success, maybe an issue. As far as the Ace of Wands goes, I'll give you the reading of what the creator of these cards has said. And she says, consider it a new adventure or a new venture, energy, conquest, creative flow via rooting of sexual energy, obstacles removed, recoup forces and charge ahead with more creative approach. Physical sacrifice will pay off. Challenges met, physical change for the better. So, it's a very positive card, okay?
Right.
But it also restates that you have to be careful and watchful of your own anger and the anger of others, which I understand.
Right.
You have to be careful with the King of Swords. And it says, onset of illness possible, but so it could mean... It looks like it's going to be a very successful card for you, and you're going to live happily ever after on this one, at least for the next 3 or 4, possibly 5 months, when things might change again. But it looks pretty steady, and it looks like you're going to get through this. Going to take stern resolve, and there's a lot of stress, but you have the inherent motherly quality of the Empress guiding you, as well as the assurity of the Six of Wands, which is the the card of recognition, the card of being rewarded for work that you've done. So That's where I see it. Do you have any questions that I could answer more clearly? Or?
Well, no, that's kind of, that pretty much hit all the nails right on the head. And I appreciate that. I actually recently, too, I had someone give me a copy of my natal chart for my birthday, And I looked at it for a minute. I said, what is this? This is crazy, because... I'm an Aquarius, and I guess when I was born, it was called a stellium or something, and I have like 7 planets all stuffed into this little house, and so I said, well, golly, this is boring. Everybody else's is all over, and mine are all stuck in here, and so somebody looked at it for me, and they told me that it was actually a good thing, and it wasn't boring, and they kind of gave me permission to, I don't do things like other people, I never have, and I always just thought I was quirky, but now I know it's just me, and it's okay. Since I've been given permission just to go with it, I feel really liberated, And because I always thought it was just me, I was some oddball weirdo or something. Even though it always turned out, I felt weird. So now that I see that that's okay, because actually that's what all that says, And so I'm just like gangbusters. I want to go out there and do even more stuff good, because I like to do good stuff, And
what kind of stuff do you do?
Just things for like right now too, I'm getting involved in politics, kind of.
Okay,
government stuff. I think it's time. The people have been asleep a long time, and they need to wake up and see what's going on, and they need to do something about it right now. Because we should have been doing this 10, 20, 50 years ago, but we didn't. So now we're awake, we see what's going on, and we right now have to really get on it and make up for lost time. And I feel this passion about getting out there and doing this, because I love America, and I want to see it get ugly.
Well, not to downgrade anything, but the only to enhance it, there's a... not only there's a term, it's called I learned from a guru that said he said it was a time of it was the time of the popcorn effect. I said, I asked about the popcorn effect, and what it meant was that, you know, when you put in your, you put a bag of popcorn into your microwave and you put it on for about 2 or 3 minutes, right? All of a sudden, there's the bag starts to pop, right? And there's a moment when all of a sudden there's a temperature that it hits when all of a sudden every kernel pops and that pop, you know, it goes pop like that. Well, that's reached now with the souls. It's like the world is reaching, has reached a point where it's basically the popcorn effect, where everybody is understanding, is coming to an understanding that their government is robbing them blind, that they're not leading, like they're not, you know, things are wrong. They're
not representing us.
Right.
You know, they're not looking out for our best interests. They're looking solely for their own, okay?
That's right. That's absolutely right.
It angers me to no end. You have no idea. And so I've been taking little baby steps and doing stuff like, you know, bombarding my local California elected officials to death. But it's not enough, you know. And if I've been asleep all this time, then there's a whole bunch of other ones that have been too. And you know, but it has to be done like right now because we're tinkering, you know, one or the other. And maybe it is too late, but, you know, we'll go down fighting. That's my thing, you know, because America's supposed to have spirit.
Well, I agree with you because I've been doing this for the last 10 years on my television and radio programs and, you know, documentaries that I've done. And there's a tremendous number of people out there that are like yourselves, passionate activists, you know, people that are writing their senators, people that are going into marches and, you know, angry, just downright angry, and, you know, at their federal government and at their society for what's happening and the crooks and bankers and everybody else. So,
yeah.
But I'm glad to hear that you are doing that. I'm glad to hear that you're, because what needs the most nurturing right now is the anti-war movement and movement with against the banks and the movement against this government right now, the way they're going. So, I think you found the right place for yourself in whatever group that is.
I hope it works. You know, I just know that good, I mean, you know, and then I have another side that says, hey, you know, it has gone too far, and what you really should be putting your efforts into is telling people that, you know, I mean, the Bible says that this stuff is going to happen, and you see it all around. Maybe it's already written in stone that it, you know, it has to play out, and you should just tell people that it's okay, because if they get, you know, saved and right with God, then Jesus is coming, and they won't have to worry about it, you know? I don't really know which way to go on that either.
One thing that you have to understand about the Bible's version of Revelation is that these predictions, all right, prophecies were things that were seen 2,000 years ago, all right? Everybody during over the last 2,000 years, almost every century, somebody's been crying the end of the world, the end of the world, the end of the world. You know what I mean? For the last 2,000.
Yeah, I understand that.
So it's not.
But see, now we have the RFID chip that's out there, and they've linked it. Okay, at first with health. Okay, but that's the thing—the mark of the beast. You know, and it's here right now, not centuries ago.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
I agree with you 100%. I truly do. And, you know, I totally agree with you on that. And they're trying to radio tag everybody. And
right. And you won't be able to buy or sell without it. That's what it says in the Bible. And it's here right now.
On my programs, we've discussed articles that were showing that state that they have a nanotechnology now where they were actually planning to, you know, in the H1N1, they were actually planning to these nano-sized things into the vaccine to so people could be watched for the reaction as to what would, you know, how their reactions are. It's actually a radioactive microchip, nanomicrochip.
Right. Well, I don't doubt that. I really don't, because our it's gotten way out there, you know.
But
all this stuff was already.
We're looking at we're looking at such diabolical plots against our own citizens that it's frightening. I mean, you're not familiar with the chemtrailing issues. I mean, if you look up in the sky and you see all these military planes crisscrossing and leaving plumes in the sky, right? You know, and blocking out the sun almost every day all over the globe. Yet people aren't, you know, there are massive movements. I'm involved with at least 10 right now worldwide that are trying to bring attention to the chemtrail issue and aerosol spraying of the atmosphere. Okay, and this is all part of what's going on with part of the global warming issue, you know, and that's
right.
That.
And it's crazy, isn't it? You know, so that's. Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's why I think maybe, you know, it's just maybe better instead of all that stuff, you know, just like telling people, you know.
Well, I think you have to involve as many groups as possible to see, to gather the information, you know, to go against these people and to go against this evil that we're actually seeing. I mean, the if you go into your, I ask everybody to do this who's interested, to check out Google Global 2000 Report, Global 2000 Report. Up, which is the government report signed by Jimmy Carter and signed off by Ronald Reagan that agreed to conduct a global population reduction, all right,
right,
of American citizens and citizens around the world through these different programs. And it's right in Google that they're not leaving anything out. There it is. Read the report yourself. And it tells you, we're trying to kill you, folks. Okay, we have to reduce the world population by 4 billion people in the next 25 years. So
yeah, but instead of this stuff, why instead before didn't they just very, why did they get birth control out there, you know? I mean, wouldn't that have been better to prevent the population rather than try and exterminate it?
It's not good enough for these people. It's not good enough for these. These are monsters. These are people that are beyond diabolical. They're demonic. Anybody who can set out to try to kill 3 or 4 billion people, right, is just beyond sanity. I mean, it's beyond metaphysics. It's so dark and evil.
Right.
Can you imagine? Trying to kill off, you know, 2/3 of the world population. This is just a handful of leaders around the country that have been elected by, democratic governments, all right, and yet are trying are now involved with actually genocide, you know, killing their own people and killing
right.
people in other countries. Just to
reduce
the population.
Yeah, it's nuts.
It's not as nutty. I mean, it's not nutty at all. I mean, there's also a report that the UN put out, which is called Agenda 21, which states essentially.
Oh, I heard that.
All right. So these are all national, international agencies that have plans, published plans, okay, for the reduction of the human population globally. That's why you have the widespread AIDS pandemic and the widespread tuberculosis pandemic right now, and then you have all kinds of wars, and, you know, the United States conducting all of these wars. It's just telling you that this is explaining the collapse, if you will, of our institutions. Right, and we have to, people like you and myself. myself and others who are committed to being patriots and committed to being compassionate people have to look at this rationally and say, well, how do we get involved and how do we change things, you know? And applying pressure to Congress changes some things, but applying pressure to awakening people, like setting up a, maybe you might want to set up a website or start your own show, you know, talk show, or be a more, or be, I don't know, write to the newspapers, be, start a television show, things like that on access stations, you know, to be a voice in your community, you know, and to challenge.
I kind of feel like taking it to the streets, you know, right there on the street.
Yeah, that's what we do. I mean, we are an activist radio station, a radio show, and we have been for 10 years, or actually 7 years radio, but 10 years on television, and statewide in Connecticut, and some of our shows have been seen nationally, and our radio shows we just go after it. I got a book coming out called the Naked at the Mic, The Survival of a Liberal in a Time of Peril, and that's in the printers now, so it should be coming out in about 2 weeks. That goes after all the sacred cows, you know, and liberalism. I mean, it's defense of liberalism, but it goes against the sacred cows of conservatism and liberalism. You know, the extremes on each side.
Right.
You know, it argues with current policies that, you know, it's just, you can do these things. I have friends who been activists for many years, and they have columns in local papers, you know, things like that they've been able to do. So there's many, many avenues for you. And it looks like from your tarot reading that you are going to do it. You know, you're going to grab a great opportunity to come your way. So,
I hope so.
Yeah.
I really hope so. So I really appreciate all this time, energy, and effort, and everything that you've done with me tonight.
All right. Well, I want to wish you a good night.
Same here. I'll call in again, but now at least I feel even like it's double, you know, like before I felt, you know, from the natal thing, you know, thinking, okay, I've got permission, but now this was like the push I needed.
Oh, good. I'm glad. So, you know, good luck to you. And, you know, we usually, every Thursday night is our night that we do either the tarot or the spiritual areas. So just give me a call, you know, if you want to talk.
Okay, I will do that.
Right.
I appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much for calling. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
And we want to wish everybody an evening. I know we're not streaming any longer. So we want to thank everybody for calling. You can pick this up in the archives and hear it. And wish everybody good night.